Amen. Your race almost done? I hope not. Unless the Lord's coming back. I hope your race ain't almost done. Amen. I guess that would be the end of your life. I guess. The race is almost done. Maybe the battle, a battle you're going through can be almost done, but hopefully the race is not almost done. Amen. Hopefully you got a long time left before you pass away. Thank the Lord for camp meeting. Time of refreshing. Thank the Lord for the two messages we've already heard. For Brother Fraser's message this morning, hit it right on the head. Man, love. Love, man. That's where our love for God. If you're struggling in different areas, your Christian walk, whatever it may be, you're struggling, you get that love for God right, and that's going to fall in line. It's going to fall in line. I mean, that's where it is right there, a love for God, a passion for God. Amen. Praise the Lord tonight. We're going to try to preach today. The Lord's going to help us. And let's turn to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. I believe the Lord would have something for us today. If we'd reach out, grab a hold of it. Man, you're only going to get out what you put into it. And so, I don't know if you want to waste this time, this service, or if you want to get in. Get in and get something from the Lord. Amen. All camp, get in. The more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. Lord, He wants to give out. Man, He wants to give out. Days are growing short. Time's growing short for us. Really is. On this earth. And we need to really reach out. Because God wants to give out. We need to reach out. Amen. If I can get to the right spot. Well, we're turning here. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Man, I love this scripture. Quote it many times when I'm preaching, but we're gonna preach on it today. We're gonna preach on it today. Let's start in the middle of the verse. Or we can start at the beginning of the verse. We're just gonna read one verse here, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. And it says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You right now, God. And God, I ask You just to open up the Word of God to us, God. Encourage us, God. Make us alive, God, for You. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God. We're in need of the Holy Spirit to move here today, God. God, we're in need of the Holy Spirit to move here at camp, God. God, I know I need it, Lord. I know there's many in here, every one of us, God. This is a time of refreshing, God. God, we're here at camp meeting because we need refresh, God. Because we need a touch from the Heavenly Father, God. That's why we're here, God. God, and we need the Holy Spirit to come down in this service, God, for the remainder of camp, God. God, make us aware of this tonight, that the Holy Spirit, make us aware of this afternoon, that the Holy Spirit wants to move in a great way, God. God, and we got to get in the waters. We got to get in the waters because it's camp meeting. God's going to trouble them. It's just a matter of we get in them, God. God, we thank You for Your Spirit. Help me preach tonight, God. I'm in need of Your help. This afternoon, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love this scripture. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You know what that tells me? That tells me I have got hope. Because if it was by my might and by my power, well, I'd be in trouble. We'd all be in trouble. Because when we really get down to the core fact of the matter, man, we don't got much might, we don't got much power when it comes to living for God, facing this life, trying to overcome obstacles. We're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. We need the Spirit of God. And I'd just like to preach on the Spirit of God tonight, this afternoon. I'm going to title my message this right here. There is still water flowing in the valley. Still water flowing in the valley. For that matter, there's still water flowing on the mountain. There's still water flowing in the valley. Amen. So we come to camp meeting this year, and you need camp meeting. Maybe you don't have camp meeting where you go to to church, maybe have revivals, but you need times where you set aside a long period of time where you focus on God. Why do you need that? We need that because we need revived and we need refreshed. We need it. I need it. You need it. We need it because if we don't get refreshed, if there's not times of refreshing from the Lord, where we're going to just wither away and it's going to become harder and harder, but we need times. Yes, we get touched in Sunday night service, Sunday morning service, but we need times when we pull apart and we concentrate on God. I don't know why you came here. I don't know why you're at camp meeting. I don't know why you're here today, but I hope it's for that reason. If it's not, we need to gear our mind box. Yes, we have fellowship, we have fun, but focus. Why you're here is because you need a touch from God, and without that touch from God, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Man, without a young teenager, if I didn't come to family camp and youth camp and get that touch from God, man, I would have gotten into some big trouble. But thank the Lord, God gave me that touch, and I'm back here again this year. I need a touch. I need a touch from God. So things we need revived in. Our spiritual man needs revived. Man, our spiritual man, and this is a time. What a better time. 3 services a day. We're praying, keeping our mind on the Lord. And if you seek God, your spiritual man is going to get revived. It will. So spiritually, we need revived. We need revived. Your physical man. Maybe you got aches and pains. Maybe this and that. What better time to get healed but in the presence of the Lord? Because that's where you're really going to get healed. The doctors are going to give you pills. They're going to pat you on the back. They're going to give you a comfortable bed to sleep in. They're going to prescribe some kind of special mattress, and you might feel a little better. But what better place to really get healed than in the presence of an Almighty God? That happens at camp meeting. Man, we come to camp meeting. We need revived physically, spiritually. Man, I need my vision revived. I need my vision revived. I do. I do. Lord showed me some few things when I was in Bible school for my community, for myself. And you know, you get in the grind and that vision becomes blurred. And at times you might even find yourself checking yourself. Was that thing that God showed me or that direction that God was leading me, was that really, really, really fully true? Maybe in part. But no, it wasn't. And we need times like this where we separate unto God so God can light that vision on fire. Again. Show it to you again. In a more powerful way. Maybe you don't got a vision. This is a time for God to give you a vision for your future. I don't care how old you are, you're alive. There's a vision God wants to give you for your future. There's a plan. And so this is a time of reviving, physically, spiritually, reviving our vision, reviving our hope and our faith in God. I don't know where you are. Maybe you need your hope. Maybe your hope's shaken. Maybe your faith in God's shaken. Because it's been a long, long, long battle. It's been a long, drawn-out process. And you need revived. You need refreshed because you feel the weight. You feel weight on you. And you feel like you're being pushed down. And you need something from God. Maybe your net's been empty for a while. And we come to camp meeting because we need that touch. Man, I need it. Here's a question. Do you always feel like getting it? No, you don't always feel like coming to church because you're going to have to press in a little bit. You're going to have to push in. You don't always feel like it. I got to hurry up to get to my message. You don't always feel like it. What needs revived? Our hope and faith in God. America, the church. Man, it needs revived. Man, it needs revived. It needs revived. Amen. You know, this is what it says. We're talking about the Spirit of God here. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. The Bible says no man is going to even come unto God unless the Spirit draws him. So you're not even getting saved unless the Spirit. And so we're going to talk about just for a little while the importance of the Spirit of God. The importance of the Spirit of God. And we understand that no man is even going to come to God unless the Spirit draws him. So you're saved. You come here today. The Spirit drew you. The Spirit drew you. The Spirit drew you in. Let's look at this right here. Let's look at the beginning. The Bible. Genesis. God starts it off. Very beginning. With a big old bang. He says, man. He didn't start with the big bang. He started it off with a big bang. And this is how he did it. He said. Well, one of the things he said was. And God said, let there be light. So let's take a look at the Trinity in this. Yes, I believe in the Trinity. You read the first part of the book of Genesis. God says, let us make man in our image. Was he? Who was he talking to? He was talking to his other parts, the part of the Trinity. He said, let us make man in our image. And so when we see God say, let there be light, we see God in heaven is speaking. Who's the Word? The Bible says Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. And so Jesus Christ was at the beginning, and God was speaking the Word, Jesus Christ. And what's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit was the action. The action moved upon the waters. The action. He was the action that brought it. And so we see all of it working together. But we're going to focus on the action today. The Holy Spirit, the action, moving and working amongst His people. What were they doing? They were creating life out of nothing. What was the Holy Spirit doing? It was creating life out of nothing. Let that sink in. What was God doing? The Holy Spirit, what were they doing? They were creating life out of nothing. So maybe you come in here and you need refreshed. Well, my God created life out of nothing. You need refreshed. That's not a very big thing to God. If you look to Him, He's going to refresh you. He's going to revive you. He's going to revive you. And you know, this is my prayer for this message, for this camp meeting. I need the Spirit of God to move upon me, that I am forevermore changed. I need the Spirit of God to move upon me in such a way that I am forevermore shaken, that I'm forevermore changed, because it's not going to be my might trying to serve God. It's not going to be my power trying to serve God. I need the Spirit of God to move upon me in these altars and these times of prayer that will forevermore change me. I need changed. I need changed. I need changed. Not just changed. Not just change I receive every year. I need more than I received last year. I need something greater, because the enemy's attacking greater. The Lord's coming back and things are wrapping up here. I need change greater. Greater. Man, forevermore changed in such a way. My mindset. I need changed to where my mindset becomes all about pleasing Christ and less about me. Well, how do I do that? Sure, I can struggle. I can struggle and struggle and struggle to please Christ. But I'm telling you, there's a Holy Spirit. When you get into that moving of the Holy Spirit, where it becomes easy to be focused on pleasing Him and less focused on self. And so when your mindset becomes about pleasing God. Number two, where I'm so consumed in His worship. I need to be more consumed in His worship. I need to be. And when we get in the Spirit of God and we press in and we get in there, it becomes easy. A lot easier to worship God. It does, it does. And what a better time to do it at camp meeting. Number three, when I long for His love and communion. It's part of worship, but yes, I long for His love and communion, because there's strength in that. There's strength, there's reviving in that. There's power in that. And I need to be touched in such a way by the moving of the Spirit around these altars that I long for that devotion with Him. Number four, you know, I ain't touched in such a way that I don't struggle to serve God anymore, because the Spirit of God has taken me to a place of intense love for Him. Maybe you struggle with certain things. Maybe you struggle with this or you struggle with that. Well, I'm telling you right now, there's a place that the Spirit of God can take you where you don't struggle anymore. You don't struggle. You do not struggle, because I preach this all the time, but a lot of people think it's a struggle to serve God. It is not. It is not a struggle to serve God. Yes, you have fights. Yes, you have battles. But God is there to pick you up and to carry you through. And the Spirit of God wants to take you to a place deeper than you've ever been. Deeper than you've ever been. It wants to take you to a place where you're so in tune with God and you're so passionately in tune that I'm having a tough time explaining it. Because it's deep. It's deep. It's really deep. You know, you want satisfaction. You want peace of mind. You want joy unspeakable. Do you want that? You need to press in. He says, Spirit of God ain't going to take you there. Just you're going to sit there and you're not going to put forth any effort. Yeah, the Spirit of God's going to take you there. He's going to be the one to take you there. But you're going to have to press in. You're going to have to seek. I love this. The Bible says, seek and ye shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and... you know the scripture. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Amen. So you're going to have to get in here. You're going to have to get in here. Let's talk about... There's a lot of types in the Bible. The Bible uses a lot of types, especially for the Holy Spirit. You begin looking at types for the Holy Spirit, you can find them up and down. And I don't normally preach on types, might be the first time, but I'm going to do it today. First type of the Holy Spirit we're going to look at real briefly is fire. 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 The Holy Spirit is depicted in many places in the Bible as being a burning fire. What's the fire? What's the fire do? What does fire do? Fire consumes. Fire consumes whenever it comes in contact with Him. And today, through the process of this camp meeting, what does the fire of God want to do? What does the Holy Spirit want to do? When you get up around the altar, it wants to burn up all the impurities, all the things in your life that are keeping you from really doing what God wants you to do. Fire wants to burn it up. Mingled in with that, we understand, is repentance. Very important. Fire of God can't burn it up if you don't come to Him with a humble heart. But the fire of God anyway wants to burn it up. Burn it up, burn it up, burn it up. When we get in the presence of God, you know what I find? I find that things that I really thought that I really couldn't get rid of when I was a young kid, it becomes easy. The Spirit of God wants to take you to a place where it becomes easy for them things that you think are so hard to fall off you. You think you can never, never, never give God them certain areas, get in the presence of God. See what happens. They fall off. And it was a lot easier than you thought. A lot easier than you thought. Amen. We need the Spirit of God. Number two, wind. Wind. Wind is a type of the Holy Spirit. You know what I like about the wind? You try telling the wind where to go. No? No. The wind goes wherever it wants. You know, the wind is going to take you where you need to go. The Holy Spirit is going to take you where you need to go. Where God has. You're struggling with direction. You're struggling with a purpose in life. And you're struggling with really a reason for living. But you know what? You know what? The wind of the Holy Spirit, once we get in there and we totally get saturated, it'll just guide us. Man, it'll blow us over here and we'll be at a new job and we'll think, why in the world did God do that? And bam, there'll be an opportunity for you to witness, share the love of God, and the Holy Spirit's going to blow you. And you're not going to be uneasy about it. But the Holy Spirit's going to totally be in control. And what we're working on here this week in camp is getting in that getting into the Holy Spirit, letting Him move, letting Him work, letting Him work. Throw the scripture, John 3:8. The wind bloweth wherever it listeth. Listeth means wishes. The wind bloweth wherever it wishes. Holy Spirit goes wherever it wishes. Goes wherever it wishes. And it's going to take you where you need to go. A lot of you don't know. Do I know exactly where I'm going? What I'm doing? No. But you might miss out if you don't really get in the presence of God and see God. You might miss out on where the Holy Spirit's going to blow you. Where it's going to send you. Amen. Third, I'd like to talk about water. And this is where I'd like to stay for a while. I'd like to talk about water. H2O. Water. The Holy Spirit is a type. Water is a type of the Holy Spirit. Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 15 talks about a well of living water. A well of living water. When we look at the earth's surface, the earth is mostly covered in water. When we look at the human bodies, the importance of water in the human body. How much of our body is made up of water? I might get it wrong, but I'm pretty sure I remember from science class, it's something like 98%. Water is important. Water is a very important, vital part of life. You take water out, you take life out. God knew what He was doing when He put water. Simple molecule, H2O, doesn't have much, but it's very important to the existence. It's very important to the existence of our bodies, our life. And really, that's what it is. It's life. It's life. You go out in the desert and you spend a day or so and you see you begin to realize how important water is. It's life. That's what I'm going to talk about, the Holy Spirit right now. Water, water, the Holy Spirit is life. It's life, it's life, it's life, it's life. It's something that I need. It's something that I need to get totally immersed in. How do I get immersed in it? The presence of God, the Spirit of God is what it is. And we just worship God. We enter in. We focus on God. We ask God. Ask God. God, I want to get immersed in Your Spirit. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. So a water, type of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the water in a few places in the Bible here. First one, let's turn to the Garden of Eden. We won't turn there. I'll just tell you about it. The Garden of Eden, kind of interesting. Second or third chapter talks about the Garden of Eden being fed by four rivers. We're talking about water here. The Garden of Eden is fed by four rivers. And so the four rivers come down, and what do? They give the life. Water is life. Water is life. There was probably other sources of water. The Bible says a mist coming out of the ground. But there was probably other sources. But anyways, these four rivers are feeding life to the Garden of Eden. Okay? Where'd they come from? I don't know. I looked at a map. You can challenge me on this. Take a look at a map yourself. But if you look at the map, them four rivers, when they join and they come together, and you know where they come together? They come together on the highest point over there, and it's in Turkey. You know what that place is? That place is called Mount Ararat. Some people think it's where Moses finally parked his ship. We don't know. Or Moses, Noah, sorry about that. Noah finally parked the ship. But anyways, the important part is that water is life. Water is life. And what we see is that the Garden of Eden was getting fed from the highest point around. The highest point around. God was feeding the Garden of Eden with life. With spiritual life and nourishment. That you take them rivers away. One was the Tigris, one was the Euphrates. You take them away. Garden of Eden doesn't got that life. Sure, God could have done it another way, but He chose to do it this way. And they were the life supporting the Garden of Eden there. Come from the highest point. Come from God Almighty. Let's look at this. Second one we're going to go to is we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Love this portion of Scripture. We're going to hit on it, and then we'll be back to it a little bit later. Ezekiel chapter 47. Let's go to Solomon's temple. First off, I'd like to point to this. What was the highest place around that area in Jerusalem there? Well, of course, it was where they put the temple of God. Why? So all men could look up and to see the temple. And so on top here, we had Solomon's temple built, and Ezekiel is given a prophecy on Solomon's temple here in Ezekiel chapter 47. Let's read the first verse here. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. So water is coming from the highest point around again. But how? Where is it coming from this time? Where is it coming from? It's coming from the house of God. It's coming from the house of God. And more importantly, when we look into this, if you really look, I believe it was coming from the Holy of Holies. Right out of the throne room of God here on earth. Right out of the Holy of Holies. And why? Why? We see that we need life. We need that spiritual water. So what in the world was that spiritual water doing? Let's pick it up in verse 6. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? That he was showing Ezekiel something. Hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issued out towards the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river goeth. Man, I love this portion of Scripture. We got a river. We got a river of the Spirit of God coming out of the temple of God, the highest point in that area. And that river is going down through a desert, a barren land. And anything that river comes in contact with is living. It comes to life. the Spirit of God here, anything it comes in contact, if you come in contact with the Spirit of God with a contrite heart, a heart that's bowed and humbly before God, the reverence of God, if you come in contact with the Holy Spirit in that kind of way, when you're humbled, life is going to be a minister to every problem, to every situation. Maybe the way you think it should be may not be, but God is going to work in such a way. It's going to change you forevermore. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. The water flowing out of the temple. We see this water flowing out of the temple. It says it goes down into the desert. It says it goes down into the desert. The desert, the dry, the barren place, giving life all along the way. We need this water. I need this water. I need this water. America needs this water. The church needs this water. The church in America needs this water desperately because we're running out of life. We're running out of life. We are. I'm not speaking to the church in general. I'm speaking to us. We're running out of life. Things of this world are zapping us. They're zapping us. They're zapping the life right out of us. They are. And we need this. We need this life. This is flowing of the Holy Spirit. We need to get submerged in it. Where the things of the world don't zap us anymore. Where there's life given to us in every area of our life. We need the Spirit of God in such a way that it's going to change us. Going to change us forevermore. Verse 12 says, the leaf shall not fade. The leaf shall not, it shall not fade. It shall not fade. It shall not fade. I don't want to keep you too long, so I'm going to hop right along. I'm going to go to the third mountain. We went from Mount Ararat to Mount, what was that mountain called? Solomon's Temple was up there. I forget the name of the mountain. Let's go to the third mountain. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Mount Golgotha, Mount Calvary. There water on Mount Calvary? Sure, there was. Jesus Christ gave His life for us on Mount Calvary. We receive His repentance. But what we see happening on Mount Calvary is as He was dying up there and He died, what happened at the end? A soldier took a spear. A soldier took a spear. And he took the spear. And let's read it. Let's read it. Let me read it. John 19:34. It says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. What happened there? What happened? That was the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 47. And I'll show you how. That's What do you mean? This is what I mean. Ezekiel chapter 47, we see water, the water of life, flowing out of the throne room of God, going down through the desert. And on Mount Calvary, what do we see? We see Jesus getting stuck. We see that Jesus is the baptizer. He's the one that sends the Holy Spirit. He's the Word. He's the Word. He sends the Holy Spirit. We see Him getting poked. Water comes out. Water flows down Him. It was the highest point in that small area. It was Mount Golgotha. We see the water flowing down that mountain. That water of life. It's so important to me and you. So important. To me and you, we need it, we need it, we need that life. And to think the Son of God gave His life. He gave His life so we can have repentance, not only repentance, but that we can have life and life more abundantly. More abundantly, that's the Spirit of God in us. In us. In us. In us. The Spirit of God in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He offered this life. He didn't leave me hopeless when He forgave me. He didn't. Amen. Let's go to one more mountain. One more mountain. I got another mountain. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. In verses 1 and 2. I guess this is, I don't know if it's really a mountain, but it's a lot higher than all the mountains I know. In fact, it's the highest thing. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. Let's see what's happening at the throne room of God. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne room of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruits every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. What's flowing out of the throne room of God? A pure river of water of life. Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father, issuing it. And that water of the Holy Spirit is coming down. It's coming all the way down. It's coming down Calvary's mountain. It's coming to me and you and to our communities. It's coming where... Why? Why is it coming there? Because Jesus Christ paved the way. He opened up. Now the Spirit moves freely. And so whenever we want, we can just jump in that water. And so we find that water flowing down. Why? For us! For a church that's hurting and desperately needs it. For situations in your life when you desperately need it, the river of life is flowing. And let me tell you something, the river of life is flowing here at camp this year. The Holy Spirit is going to be flowing. It's already flowing. But if you concentrate on God and you get in that river, if you get in that river, it'll forevermore change your life. More than past camps. I'm talking about a real change. Shakes you at your very core. Deep, deep, deep. You know, God's done messing around with this little stuff. He's done messing around with, I'll bless them this year just a little bit so they'll come back to camp next year. And I'll have to know He's done messing around with that. He wants to so change your life. So change it. That you're such a powerful witness that it's undeniable. He can't, why He can't, we get this concept that God can't do that. Why? Why can't He? He created everything. You believe the Bible or not? There's a pure river of water of life flowing out of the throne room of God. From the very presence of God. It's flowing out. It's flowing down. It's flowing down. It's flowing down. Back to Ezekiel chapter 47. We're going to end there. I skipped over part of it. He shows them this. This water flowing out of the throne. And let's read verses 3 through 5. I'm going to stay here and then we're going to preach and then I'm going to be done. Ezekiel 47 verses 3 through 5. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. I don't know exactly how far that is. That's far. He measured 1,000 cubits. And listen to this. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Verse 4, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to my loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the rivers were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And so this man, Ezekiel, finds himself at the river. And what does it say? It says, he took him. Who? Jesus Christ, Spirit of God, God, whatever you want to say, I don't care. But the fact is, God took you. God is willing to take you. He took Ezekiel by the hand. You try to get out there. You try to get out there where you can swim and just be immersed in the Spirit of God. And you fail, and you fail, and you fail. Well, my Bible says, he took me. He took me. Grab hold of that truth. He took me. What did I have to do? I just had to humble myself. I had to humble myself. I said that earlier. If you humble yourself, when there's a move of the Holy Spirit, when you humble yourself, there's no telling how God can really change your life. No telling. No telling. You could be the next Paul. And I'm saying that about every person in here. There's no telling how God can change your life when you humble yourself in the moving of the Spirit of God. And it's going to happen this week at camp. Humble yourself. And so we find this man and he gets into his ankles. Then he gets into his knees. He gets into his loins. Next thing we see, he gets in so high that he's taken here. He's taken there. Totally submerged in the Spirit of God. Spirit of God wants him to go that way, it's going to take him that way. Spirit of God wants to take him way downstream, going to take him that way. It's going to take him this way, it's going to take him that way. It's going to take him, but that's intimidating for a lot of people. It's intimidating. Scary. Man, you're telling me you just want me to so yield where the Spirit of God just, it's intimidating. And they think it's so hard to get to that point. It is not. Just, there's going to be moments where the Spirit of God's really going to be flowing. And you're just, you come up here and you just humble your heart before God. And you forget about what you're doing. You forget about your problems. You forget about this. And you just begin glorifying and honoring God. And you let the Spirit of God take you places. He's going to take you places. He's going to show you the avenue of life. And things are begin falling off your life. And you'll get up from the altar and you'll say, How in the world did I even go that far? I didn't know I could have the strength to make commitments like that. I didn't know I'd have the strength to stand up. And I'm talking to the most saved, Holy Ghost-filled saint in here. I'm talking to you because the Bible talks about refillings of the Holy Spirit. Continue when we need them. Talking about being immersed in the Spirit of God. Emerged. This man Ezekiel. Lord showed him of a vision where he was emerged. It was a vision in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47. It's a reality after Christ died on Calvary. It's the truth. So I'll close with this. This here. Psalms chapter 121 verse 1. It says, I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills from whence cometh my help. Where's the water flowing from? It's flowing from the high point. It's flowing from God. I will lift up my eyes unto God from whence cometh my help. For my help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. Listen to this. When you're standing there looking up the mountain, remember there was a river of fresh water flowing down that mountain. When you're in the valley, when circumstances are surrounding you, when you don't think you're really doing all you can for God and it breaks your heart, and you're struggling to do something for God and you seem like life is consuming you, remember this. There is a river flowing in the valley. It starts from the mountain. That verse says, look on the hills. I ask you to look on the hills if you feel like that. You're really not doing as much for God as you want to because life is consuming you. Just steal away. Steal away because the Spirit of God has a way of making room for Him to do what He wants to. So if you steal away and you get in the presence of God and you worship God and you get submerged in the Spirit of God, you'll begin seeing your ministry open up. You'll begin seeing things that God wants you to do. Just it'll open up. It'll open up. It'll open up. Still water in the valley. Still water flowing in the valley. I thought of this when I was coming up with this message. The Lord gave it to me. I thought of this. I thought of the rich man in hell begging for one drop of water because he knew how precious it was. He knew how precious it was. And you think of any man in hell for one drop of the Spirit of God because he knows how precious it is. Man, it's flowing freely for you. All you got to do is get into the river. Don't stop at the ankles. Don't stop at the knees. Don't even stop there. It's going to feel good. It's going to feel good. It's going to feel good at the ankles. It's going to feel good at the knees. But in this world today, we just don't even need to go to here. I need to be solely submerged that God can just take me wherever He wants to take me. And am I there? I don't think so, but I want to try this camp meeting to get what I can. I want to try. And I hope that you try to. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before You today, God. Oh, God, I need Your Spirit. God, I needed Your Spirit to even get saved. God, You had to draw me. God, I need Your Spirit to move upon this camp meeting, even now, God. God, I need Your Spirit. God, I need Your Spirit. God, I need to get around these altars and feel You moving. I want you to pray. Pray a similar prayer I'm praying now. If you really want the Spirit of God to submerge you, start praying. Lord, I need You. God, I need You to submerge me, God. God, I need to be totally taken up in the Spirit of God. God, I need the strength from You. I need Your Spirit, God. I need Your Spirit. I need Your Spirit.
Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, that You let the Holy Ghost and fire fall upon this camp meeting like You've done in past times. God, I ask You to pull hearts into this water. Pull hearts into this water right now. Pull them in. Put a longing in their heart for this water, a longing in their heart for the Holy Spirit, a longing in their heart for the fullness of this power. Put a longing in their heart, drawing them into this water. Put it in their Holy Spirit. Put it in their God right now. I pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just get up here to the altar. Everyone that will, and let's cry out for a little while. Tell God you want it. You want that. You want that. Tell God you want to get in there. Tell God you need it. Tell God you desire it. God won't withhold it. God will not withhold it. Hallelujah, Jesus.
That never shall.